companions. We help you discover your many layers. You peel, you cry, you wake up with fresh eyes. Question life, question humanity, question society, but most of all, question yourself.
Hey everyone, it's the end of the year. Whoa, we made it! I just wanted to take this chance to thank all of you out there who's listening. That's 20 episodes for 2020 with audiences tuning in from 26 different countries. Do I know anyone in Serbia? Anyway, it's been a crazy year. I started this podcast because I was searching for hope amidst a very pessimistic climate outlook. I left Europe for North America to research social change agencies and eco-village communities. Then COVID hit and it completely disrupted my plans, as was the situation with most people. On hindsight now, it was a very interesting year actually, especially in terms of inner growth. Many of you probably resonate with me on that. So I thought to end this year off with 20 reflections for 2020. Number 1. Confronting your fears could also mean forcing yourself to see positivity in non-ideal situations. I've been challenged this year in ways that made me confront situations that I had spent years running away from. I think sometimes in these situations, rationally you know that fear is attached to something deeper, memories or trauma, but in whatever moment that you had to deal with it, it's difficult to be rational when the intensity of those emotions consume you. But you know what? Even in the absolute worst case scenario, it's a mental exercise to keep finding something positive. And where there is none, create it. Number 2. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. A friend said this to me this year. You know what's the first rule to survival? Don't die. So yep, whatever it is, don't die. Doesn't kill you, makes you stronger. Number 3. Reframing mindsets. This was a tough one. I was researching financial independence of socially engaged projects, and I was hearing from everyone around me in this field that there's no money. And then I was working in a social sector and saw firsthand how, even if there was money, a lot of it goes into servicing the system, administration, bureaucracy, reports, instead of actual work on the ground with people. We have built a metrics-based system in which what we are selling in social impact are reports, which is contradictory because it's no longer about good work, it's about how well you write applications, do publicity, and do the reporting thereafter. I believe we have to move beyond KPIs and such metrics when looking at value, but that's for another conversation. So what has this got to do with reframing mindset? For the longest time, I was researching financial independence, yet seeing it from a problem-based perspective. So I was looking at all of these factors that were showing up to me that were problematic and limiting. And that became the narrative that I was telling myself, that there is no money in social impact work, that resources are limited, that there is a lot of exploitation. But here's the thing, regardless of whether that is true to reality, if I continue to see the situation as such, I will find it so much harder to break out of this and actually find opportunities or solutions. So something I've been working on has been to really reframe that mindset into one of abundance. So regardless of what the reality is out there, I'm going to tell myself that there are resources, there are many opportunities, and there is a lot of money out there for the social impact work I'm doing. Now, how this helps is that you start to be in a more positive space, and because you're operating from a belief of abundance, you'll be attracted and drawn towards the spaces that can offer you what you need. Which brings me to point number 4. Move out of your comfort zone. So something I learned from my journey was that I was constantly moving out of my comfort zone. I was in fashion and I really didn't like the industry, so I moved into performance art, where I was really interested in wearable art and costume, not so much the performance part of it, because I can be quite reserved, which challenged me in different ways that made me more comfortable with being on stage. And then I paved my own path in socially engaged arts because I wanted that connection with people beyond exhibition and theater spaces. So I was out on the streets feeling really embarrassed in my wearable art pieces, yet connecting with some really interesting people. And then I moved out of the arts entirely and found myself doing urban projects in an NGO with many other non-profit organizations, which felt really weird. After years of building a portfolio as an artist and then be in a space completely out of it. And then I wasn't finding the answers I wanted and delved into the social entrepreneurship space. Now, every one move was uncomfortable for me. I had to start from the bottom. At any one point, I think, oh, I'm getting at something. I'm starting to be knowledgeable in this. I know people. I'm comfortable here. I literally step out of that willingly and plunge myself into completely foreign environments. So often in conversations, I just want to pull my hair and scream because I realize how ignorant I am in certain fields and don't know what the hell this person is talking about, and then have to go home and research and read. But every move out of your comfort zone brings you new opportunities. Remember that. Number 6, be resourceful. When you move into different spaces that you're not familiar with, connect with people, introduce yourself, explain your purpose and motivation. If they are the right people, aligned with what you do and who you are, you will find ways to work together. The rest who don't fit will find their way out naturally. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Number 7, be brave. Have the courage to approach people, to do things differently, to speak out, to be unapologetically and genuinely you. Do what you believe is right. Don't let fear take the driving wheel. We need courage to break the wheels of toxicity. Number 8, get comfortable with discomfort. Change is uncomfortable. I don't just mean this on a social or political level. This also applies to personal. If you want something to change, be it a bad habit or a political system, it's going to be uncomfortable. But in discomfort comes growth, and when we grow personally, we also grow collectively. When we grow collectively, we bring about systems change. 9. Connect with people. It's easy to think that you're all alone when you are physically alone, but you have to remember that you have friends and people who will be there for you if you just run down your contact list. Connect and seek support. You're not alone. 10. Be your own parent and best friend. I learned this from friends. Sometimes people don't show up the way you want them to. Sometimes people aren't available. Sometimes people don't give you support the way you want them to. Change they to I. How can I give my inner child the love, care, and nurturance that's needed? How can I show up for myself when I need it the most? When you think of what you can do instead of what others haven't done for you, you have so much more control over your emotions, and that really empowers you. Number 11, self-care. This is something that I struggle with a lot. I'm always feeling that I'm not doing enough for others and I feel limited in my own resources and energy. I had to learn this the hard way over the years, that when you don't prioritize yourself, you burn yourself out. So, self-care is really important. I don't mean splurging and going out to shop and consume, but you know, what is it that fulfills you? What makes you feel connected with people? What are the ways in which you can engage your 5 senses to care for your body? Who are the friends or family you should spend some quality time with? What rejuvenates you? 12. Boundaries. This is an extension of self-care. Boundaries are actually very healthy and important, be it boundaries with close ones or physical boundaries in your own space. A friend of mine taught me this and it's been really helpful. What are the spaces that are yours and that you can control? Define that and then control the hell out of it. When you have space, physical or mental, that you know is yours and that you have control over, it brings an extra layer of stability and security. Number 13, vulnerability isn't a weakness, it's strength. To be strong enough to be vulnerable with people paves way for authenticity. In authenticity, we have real connection and beauty in relationships. 14, learn, but also choose what not to learn, what to unlearn, and what you can teach better. I'm currently on a business course to understand the business world and why we are not breaking out of this system that isn't working. So from what I've learned, business models and theories are wired for exponential growth. The bottom line is always to sell more, to produce more, to encourage more consumption. That's how your profits grow, that's how you become more wealthy and materially comfortable. I question all my tutors on the impact on the environment and how businesses and business education can address that. Most of them told me that they don't have solutions. Some say we are doomed and that there's no way things will change. The rest just, you know, ask me a lot of questions without really providing any solutions either. So I'm seeing a system and all of its parts moving in the old way that isn't working, that's driving us on our highway to hell, yet there is little incentive to change or break it. Do I agree with what's been taught? Not all of it, no. But I'm not doing this course to look for faults and reject everything. Rather, I'm looking for things that I can learn to understand the way this system works and from there find ways to disrupt it or to find opportunities within it to support causes outside of it. Be wise about what you learn and do better. We need new ways of doing things. Number 15, a quote from Charles Eisenstein. Social healing and ecological healing are the same work. We will continue to abuse our fellow beings, even our own Mother Earth, as long as we carry unhealed social traumas. Healing on any level contributes to healing on every level. Read his book, Climate, A New Story. Number 16. Find your purpose. Create meaningful jobs. Rethink value. When we start valuing personal growth more than material growth, the world will truly change. Number 17. A beautiful quote from a friend of mine, Kelsey Spitz-Dietrich. Fragility is, I don't want to hear what you have to say because it's making me uncomfortable. Vulnerability is, I'm hearing what you're saying and it's making me uncomfortable and I'm going to take that away and I'm going to try and figure that out, thank you. And defensiveness comes from fragility. Courage comes from vulnerability. It is on the individual and their community to work through fragility to get to vulnerability and to growth. Number 18, gratitude. Practice gratitude every day for the people around you, for the sun, for the water, for the food, for the shelter. That's been helpful for me. Number 19, act. Stop waiting for someone else to be the one to create the change. Be that person yourself and act. Change your work culture. Stand up against discrimination. Reach out to people. Finally, we are at 20. Number 20, care. Care for people, your family, your friends, your colleagues. Care for the forests, the seas, the mountains. Don't be indifferent. We need solidarity now more than ever. And that's it, 20 reflections for 2020. Did any of them resonate with you? What were your favorite episodes in 2020? What can be done better? What would you like to hear more of? Message me through Onion's Talk Facebook page or on Instagram at FEEYEH_NEO or email me at heyonionstalk@gmail.com. I understand that not everyone's on social media but might still want to be kept in the loop. So if email update is something you'd fancy, drop me an email to say I'm in. Let me know if you have any other feedback. My heartfelt thanks to all of you for being on this journey with me. Happy New Year, everyone! Hello Onions Talk listeners, thank you so much for listening. If you liked what you heard, it would really help if you can leave a review on iTunes or like us on Facebook. Otherwise, subscribe and share it with people whom you think will enjoy this. Special thanks to Andrea for the music. Catch you next episode.